TRS. I am accompanied by Bob Fitrakis, Connie, and a new member. I am Khalid Phillips. Josh, also. So we're going to get on the side of foreclosure and people losing their homes behind it, you know, and I just feel like it's all for greed, you know. Basically, people are, you know, getting their homes taken away from them to benefit, you know, no less than more than three people. And these are families. And as Connie was telling me, that a lot of people are homeless because of this. And, you know, and if it would have just been overviewed by, you know, more of the public, I feel like it would have, you know, had a benefited a lot of us Americans, because there's a lot of vacant properties, and properties are falling off the market because they can't be repaired, and a lot of it's not accumulating any money, I'm just saying, or jobs. So, you know, it's really, I wouldn't say it's a part of the recession, but it's helping the recession.
This is Connie Goodell-Newton on Fight Back with Bob Fitrakis and Khalif Phillips here on WCRS 102.1, 98.3. And our show is just following a show with interviewing the Toledo Foreclosure Defense League and Keith Sadler, who's holding down the fort. And as I was discussing with Khalif before, I am very supportive of Keith Sadler and the Toledo Foreclosure Defense League for their efforts. They're basically holding down the fort from the banks, bank foreclosure.
Yeah.
Banks are trying to foreclose on this guy's house, and he's decided he's not going to leave. So the reason that I am very supportive of this effort is because I feel that there's a lot is coming out in the news right now about how banks have committed fraud and acted in bad faith at every level of the market, basically, from predatory lenders in neighborhoods, so small payday loans, up to foreclosures and adjustable rate mortgages. And the market has crashed as a result of these acts of bad faith and fraud. And then the government has rewarded the banks by bailing them out, giving them tons of money. They could have given money to the American people to pay their mortgages, and the banks would have still gotten the money. If there was a program where individuals were given funding to actually pay their deficiency, their deficient mortgages, they would have been able to save their homes, and the banks would have gotten money. Instead, the banks got the money directly, and the banks then were empowered to foreclose on people's homes instead of foreclosing individual Americans, so that we could have our right to property. We've empowered, like Khalif said, just a few families to, you know, foreclose on the rest of American families' homes. Basically, I see it as a really big problem. There's a lot of homelessness and hunger right now, more than at any other time.
Well, here's the question. I would say, who is going to step up and, you know, actually do something about it? Because it seems like our president has a lot on his hands. And, you know, as far as us as a community, could we, you know, do anything to empower it?
Well, ultimately, I don't know if Keith and the Toledo Foreclosure Defense League will be successful in saving his home, but it sends a really strong message. And I think that, you know, this issue has gotten tons of press. Yeah. I think it's going to create ripple effects all over. And, you know, there may be community groups popping up that decide they're going to form their own foreclosure defense groups all over the country, and some of them will be successful.
Wow.
They're, you know, eventually, like, I think in some areas, you know, sometimes the banks are not able to withstand the legal battle if you just challenge them and say, produce the paperwork that shows that you actually own my house. A lot of times they're not able to do that. And if they get enough challenges, if it's enough of a hassle, you know, they're going to give up. I'm not sure what happened today with Keith and his home, but, you know, there are some sheriffs who are going to be given the order to foreclose on somebody's house, and if they're barricading the house, they're not going to want to do it. They're not going to say, they're going to say, I didn't sign up for this.
Correct. Well, the sheriff in Wayne County, where Detroit is, has said he's not evicting anybody. And
great.
Actually,
great.
Back in the 70s...
That's exactly what he should do.
James Traficon, who later became a U.S. congressman, got elected to Congress because he was the sheriff, and he refused to foreclose on people, and they put him in jail for contempt of court. But people need to, you know, hold tight. And back when I was in Detroit in the 1980s, when we were facing a crisis back then, I worked with a lot of people, including Acorn, which is often vilified. But we used to take the boards off the house, move families in, and hook up their utilities. I guess they would say those were illegal hookups, but we would get them hooked up, and oftentimes utility companies would comply because they're not making any money if there's no gas and there's no electricity at the house.
That's one less unit you're getting paid for, correct?
Sure.
Yeah,
correct.
I think that's an excellent idea, putting people in the homes, keeping people in the homes, because once a house is foreclosed on, it's bad for neighborhoods.
Yes.
The property
it becomes vandalized. They strip
and
it. They wreck it.
Exactly.
It becomes often a crime haven.
An abandoned house is waste. It's wasted resources, wasted national resources.
Correct.
And if we can get through to our government officials, I wrote a letter to a senator recently about that, about waste. And, you know, everybody's talking about our economy. And, you know, the banks have kind of screwed us over. And there's a lot going on internationally, but we have the ability to affect our own localized economies, our own local economies. And if we take care of our neighborhoods and keep people in homes and take care of our neighborhoods, if we're empowered to do that,
correct,
we can generate a lot of wealth in our local areas.
Yeah.
And a wasted resource, it's not good. It's not good for the banks. It's not good for us, our communities. I mean, the one thing that it does do for banks is that it allows them to do a land grab. This is probably the biggest land grab since the genocide of the Native Americans in the United States.
Wow. Well, the other thing is that since our tax base for schools is based on property values, once you foreclose on houses in a neighborhood, then the value of the other houses go from being worth 250 to 200 to 150. So now they're paying less taxes into the school system. So it has a tremendous ripple effect on the amount of taxes generated within a community.
Now, could that be the reason why 9 elementary schools and 9 middle schools were closed?
Oh, I think it's a key reason. When you destroy your tax base, first of all, it shouldn't be based on the value of property, where kids in affluent, rich suburbs get more money and better education than rural poor kids or urban poor kids because their parents have McMansions.
Right.
First of all, you should never have that system. But because you do have that system, and when you allow these houses to be foreclosed on and the values of the property to drop, essentially you're cutting your own throat. You're destroying your own tax base, which then causes the schools to close.
To close. Right. When there could be better value. It's not, like you said, not property value, just, you know, the value of what it's worth, basically. You know, like a lot of kids and parents are, you know, putting their children in the lottery and, you know, some of their kids are not making it in the school. So now they're like, you know, how can they get their children better education instead of moving way out to Dublin or, you know, Granville or, you know, wherever the case may be. And you know, accumulate, Connie said, accumulating wealth in the community where you're at. But it also takes manpower and it also takes a lot of motivation, dedication to do it. A lot of people don't want to do it, you know. But to the people that do, there is resources.
Yeah. All right. So this is Fight Back with Bob Fitrakis, Khalif Phillips, and Connie Goodell Newton on WCRS. Just a short community announcement. The Arawak City Gardens, located on 4th Street at 1455 North 4th Street, are open for community use. We received a grant to buy some supplies, and 1455 North 4th Street, Arawak City Gardens, will be growing vegetables for people in the Wineland Park area, and that includes our homeless neighbors. Correct. All right, next topic.
All right, a lot of things happening. It was the 40th anniversary of the notorious, infamous Kent State shootings on Tuesday, the 40th anniversary.
40th.
I'd say, any thoughts on that, Khalif? You're a different generation. I was around for the baby boom. And when I say Kent State, what do you think?
I just think of a college. See, I
which isn't very good at sports.
You said...
You didn't say it. I said that. I really like that. Well, actually,
that was 2 decades really before I was even born. So I wouldn't. I wouldn't know. But
so yeah, 2 decades before you were born.
As far as I know, though, now you know, it's like the Columbine shooting, and I think there was another one.
Well, what about Jackson State?
Jackson State had a shooting.
Yeah, right after Kent State. In a short period of time after, they killed two black college students at Jackson State in Mississippi because they were having a dorm party and their music was too loud.
Wow.
So I'm always worried about what we're teaching our children K through 12 when people don't know Kent State
too.
And Jackson State.
And I also think we should make the schools a lot safer also because... You know, they're doing all this work for the airport, you know, to make sure no one's smuggling or no one's, you know, bringing illegal weapons over here or, you know, stuff like that. So I feel like a lot of that could also be put in the schools because, you know, you never know who you're sitting by, you know. And that person might have a real mental issue and they can't deal with things like you deal with things. So they might, the first thing in their head is to pick up a gun and fire at innocent students. Is there's a lot going on between that.
Well, the interesting thing, Khalif, is that in the Kent State shootings, it wasn't just like some crazy person that shot
these
students.
It was the National Guard.
It was the National Guard. It was the government. The government was coming and shooting students on their campus as they walked to class because some people were protesting the Vietnam War.
Yeah, it happened
so
right after Richard Nixon illegally invaded Cambodia.
I seen that on the History Channel.
Yeah.
It was not right how they did those students. They threw tear gas at them. Also, I did see a few people get shot. I mean, I've looked up on it. I watched the History Channel a lot. And that's just... I don't know. The sun called for.
Yeah. And so, it's really irony that you point out.
One interesting point that often isn't brought up, the black student union that was protesting with the white students, sort of the hippies and the black student union left when the guard sort of came out there with fixed bayonets.
Yeah.
And the white students said, look, they're not legally allowed to have bullets.
Exactly.
And the black students said, we don't believe that.
because
there had been the riots in Watts in 65, Detroit 67.
Yeah.
So they were used to being shot at by the National Guard. So they kind of said, we're leaving now that they're here with these guns.
Because we've seen this before.
Yeah, and the white students are there flipping them off. Like, So it was what we call a cultural diversity moment, where the middle class white students.
Uh-huh.
I mean, and that's why it's so shocking, right?
Yeah, they thought they were safe because they were the sons and daughters
of
white rich people.
Yeah,
and even though they were the sons and daughters of Ohioans, they still got shot at by our government.
Yeah, and not only it was in many ways deliberate because what had happened is these large peace rallies had occurred. In Washington, and Spiro Agnew was sent out. This is 1970. Spiro Agnew, the vice president, was sent out by Nixon. And Spiro Agnew starts to give the speech. He says, when you see these college students demonstrating, treat them like they're brown shirts and Nazis. or like they're communists and act accordingly. So he's making these speeches to police and National Guardsmen that when you see college students out there protesting the war, act like they're Nazis. And we know what we did with Nazis. So then right. the governor, the big gangster, Jim Rhodes, the day before May 3rd, shows up at Kent State uh-huh. and makes that same speech. If you see college students out there protesting,
wow.
treat them like they're not. And the very next day, the students are shot dead. Four of them killed. Mm-hmm. But here's the other fact that no one virtually ever remembers. Far more students were shot a few weeks earlier at The Ohio State University in the largest student riot in the history of the United States.
Wow.
Just 10 students got shot, but none of them were killed.
Right.
They were shot with birdshot and buckshot. But Ohio State was the initial riot, and that later turned out to be caused by undercover state police. Sure.
Our awesome tech
wow.
guy is pointing out that the Governor Rhodes, who gave that order, has a skyscraper in downtown Columbus, Rhodes Tower, named after him. So this is somebody that we celebrate in Columbus, Ohio.
Well,
so
I'm hoping one
day. Him.
Yeah, we got these statues. Well, we have Rhodes Hall at Columbus State.
Yeah.
But I'm hoping one day the city's not going to be named Columbus anymore, because I'm not into naming cities after mass murderers, and that the Rhodes statue's coming down. But in 1990, a little history of the Free Press here. Uh-huh. In 1977, the Free Press editor and one of the founders, Steve Conliff, who's now dead, decided that in honor of Kent State, he was going to pie the governor at the state fair.
Oh, yeah.
On the opening day of the state fair, he throws a cream pie into the governor's face.
Wow.
And there's another guy standing nearby who we honored at the Free Press Awards, and it's Mike Gruber, who said, investigate Kent State. So they arrested him, too, for saying investigate, and they chained him together, and they charged him, Steve Conliff, with felony assault upon the governor for hitting him with a cream pie.
Felony assault. Mm-hmm.
And then he ended
that's
up
nowhere near
being acquitted.
I think that's just embarrassing.
I would have said it was an accident.
That's just supposed to be embarrassing, right?
Well,
I'm
not trying to kill the guy with
a pie. What Safe did is that he said, well, it didn't really hurt me. It kind of really missed me. It only hit a little of my face. And then later, when he got on the stand, the governor's going, oh, yeah, it was awful. They assaulted me. I thought I was going to be blind. And then I go, but what about this tape where you said it didn't
you
hurt
said
at
it
all.
Didn't hurt.
Are you lying now? Fred Gittes got to you to ask, are you lying now, Governor? Or were you lying
macho
then?
And it
but
against
what I
want to
know
that
is,
pie didn't hurt.
Why would they use live rounds?
Well, it was illegal to use live rounds.
That's what I'm saying. Why would they use live rounds?
I know, because they could use rubber bullets, they could use wooden
bean
bullets.
Bags.
Yeah, exactly.
They could have let people protest and
exactly.
not assaulted them.
The tear gas should have been the
whole
last resort.
Of options.
The tear,
yeah.
tear
or
gas.
Or even at Ohio last. State, nobody dies because they're shooting them with birdshot.
Yeah.
They're shooting them with those little pellets, which hurt. But
how about not shooting people?
Kill you.
I think
at
that
all.
Would be that would be
yeah,
nice.
Yeah, not at
know?
All.
You know,
yeah,
I
well,
think I'd pay higher taxes for nice police officers.
Yeah, but they, you know, they had like you know M1s there. They had 30-06. They were shooting them with military weapons designed to.
Kill
you dead.
Right. I guess that's what you do when you don't want people protesting war.
And in many ways,
it brings a lot of attention, and then they're questioned. So now they're in the spotlight, and they don't want that.
And also in 1990, Dr. Pete Howison, who had conducted the test to show that it really doesn't hurt you when you get hit by a cream pie, he was the medical expert, actually hit the statue of Rhodes with a cherry pie. In 1990.
Now, so what did he get for assaulting a statue? Anything?
No. I'm not sure. I think the statute of limitation is run on this, so
okay.
He was not charged with throwing a red gooey pie on the statue.
On the statue.
And the other thing is that some people who actually worked on that statue, Gary Ross was the guy who made it, but I guess some of the people that did the casting, according to legend, inside the briefcase of Rhodes is a paper saying four dead in Ohio. It's sort of
wow.
like they before they bronzed it shut, you know, and brazed it and got it and sealed it, they actually put a paper in there regarding Kent State.
Wow.
And by the way, Jim, the Free Press reported that through the FBI file of Rhodes is that Jim Rhodes had been a bookie, a gambler associated with the mob. and that the FBI was actually blackmailing him most of his political career to get him to do what the FBI wanted him to do.
Government corruption. Surprise, surprise.
Shockingly.
It seems like the government is worse than criminals. And that's the truth. It seems like the government is worse than criminals because they're doing things, they're doing criminal acts. And they're not going to jail for them. And I'm thinking, wow.
Well, that's my favorite bumper sticker from the 80s.
Who was it that they went deer hunting and he shot his friend in the head?
That was Dick Cheney.
Dick Cheney.
And then they held off the police when they were going to test him to see if he'd been drinking and acting recklessly.
Yeah, see, that's not okay. You shoot him. How did you shoot him in the head?
Yeah.
Is what I want to know. You're supposed to be aiming up for whatever's flying, and you're shooting straight. I don't understand.
All right, it's WCRS 102.1, 98.3. Fight Back with Bob Fetrakis, Connie Goodell-Newton, and Khalif Phillips.
We're all signing
right.
Out.
What's do we got any time left? Or are we on?
Yeah, about 10 minutes.
Oh, okay,
we're still.
We were about ready to sign
five
off
minutes.
Here, but the elections. We would be remiss not to mention that the elections happened here, and Jennifer Bruner lost to Lee Fisher, and other things are happening in the city. And right afterward, there were these commercials released by Kasich and by, of course, Governor Strickland in the gubernatorial race. And it's interesting, suddenly they're challenging Kasich for all those NAFTA votes, which, by the way, Bill Clinton proposed the policy back
then.
To
do it, right.
So it's sort of like now it's like, maybe we shouldn't have sent all those jobs overseas. Maybe we could have used some here. People might be able to have jobs and not have, not have their homes foreclosed on. Because that's the problem with Toledo. I mean, after killing all those people in Vietnam, 2.4 million civilians, 600,000 Vietnamese troops, North Vietnamese, 600,000 American troops, now we make Jeeps, which used to be made in Toledo. We make those Hanoi in Vietnam.
Wow. And that's what I watched a commercial this morning, and this lady was talking about how her job was sent to China. Yeah. And she was saying, like, basically, you know, it's not helping us. And also, Columbus, we're trying to, the issue too about the casino, you know, is that going to bring more jobs to Columbus, or is that going to bring people from out of Columbus to get jobs?
Well, it's going to bring a better quality of escort and prostitute.
True. That's true. That is true.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's,
look,
the gambling is like when you're absolutely desperate.
Yeah.
When, you know, I mean, they'll clean up a lot of the crime, but you turn to gambling when you got nothing left, right? I mean,
correct.
It's sort of like when you don't make anything anymore in your economy.
So you have to gamble.
You have to gamble
with something.
I'm definitely worried that, you know, I mean, gambling is supposed to be addictive. I think that there's a
hold that thought. I need to call my bookie.
Uh-huh. All right. Yeah, I mean, I just think there's a danger that people could, lower-income people could be spending their family's resources on gambling when, you know, just like with
I'm worried about Goldman Sachs. I'm worried about the Wall Street guys gambling in the casino of Wall Street.
People's addicted to it. But could you name one thing that someone isn't addicted to?
But the biggest casino is Wall Street, and they're the ones if you need to regulate any gambling, it's those guys, because they tanked our whole economy, betting on the housing market.
Gambling.
That's so true. Also on the elections tip, the Green Party, an official party that you can vote on now, had their primaries. Central Committee. Bob and I are going to be on the Central Committee, so that's pretty exciting.
Wow.
Yeah, there's a whole school of, and for fair play and good nonpartisanship, there's the Constitutional Law Party on the right, but you're probably not, if you're in the Constitutional Law Party, you're probably not listening to this community radio. There's the Libertarian Party.
The Socialists.
So there was actually a Socialist Party, which
we ain't seen
one of those since 1932. Since Norman Thomas.
Dan Labatz will be running for Congress in the Socialist Party. The Green Party has a lot of candidates. Anita Rios.
That's good.
Lieutenant Governor from the Toledo area.
That's good.
Yeah, and you know she's supporting Anita. She's going to support the foreclosure action up there in Toledo.
That's great.
That's great. That's great.
So there's a lot of different options, and we'll see what happens. And there's always
the major
parties. Yeah.
A lot of resources also. So
and Charlita Tavares won.
Yeah. So if you could just get into wherever you could fit in and try to help, it would be appreciated. You know, whether it's in your neighborhood, at your job, at your children's school, you know, recreation centers, wherever you could, you know, put more opportunity into it, please do. Because, I mean, a lot of people need each other, you know, because the government isn't doing a lot, as we can tell.
But so. Connie is. There's people out there growing vegetables.
Yeah,
Four
that's
Seasons
what I said.
And Arawak City.
And your community, you know, if you could, you know, helping your community be, you know.
Yeah, while you're in the neighborhood of the Arawak City, 1455 North 4th
North
Street,
4th.
Also stop by the Third Hand Community Bike Co-op, where you can get your bike fixed for free, shop for cheap bikes, and learn how to fix your own bike.
Correct.
And stop by the Sporeprint Info Shop, mm-hmm. that's a free radical media center. You can read about many of the topics. We have a lot of Bob Fitrakis' books in our
All
library.
Right. Yes, yes.
The Yippie book about the protests. And
I'm
going to
donate
Columbus.
A new one called Goats in Prison by Steve Conliff, which is about Kent State.
Okay.
So hopefully everyone's going to want to read Goats in Prison.
And so also, any local artists who are listening, there is a way to get your name out there, Eye for Eye Entertainment. It's on 4th and Cherry. Just stop in. Office hours, I think, are from 2 to 8 o'clock. Just stop in, and Chris will help you with everything. So make sure you ask for Chris. It's WUGR.biz. Thank you.
All right. So a lot of opportunities to get involved with the community. You want to take us out, Connie?
Yeah. This has been Fight Back with Bob Fitrakis, Connie Goodell-Newton, and Khalif Phillips on WCRS 102.1, 98.3.
Peace.